Blog Talk Radio.
I'll be the last one standing, two hands in the air, I'm a champion. You'll be looking up at me when it's over. I live for the battle, I'm a soldier. Yeah, I'm a fighter like Rocky. Put your flag on your back like Ali. Yeah, I'm the greatest, I'm strong.
Welcome back to another week of Dallas Elite Radio. I am your host, Des Allen. Unfortunately, this week we will not have our co-host, Jamie Fornell, with us. She's got other things that she's got to tend to this evening, but I'm going to hold it down. And I'll have a guest host with me, one of the co-owners of the team, Miss Lynn Liberty Ellington. She is on the line, and we'll be talking to her shortly. But I have two special guests with us, a veteran, Tessa Sharman, and a rookie, Miss Bria Burr. I'm going to talk to Miss Bria Burr first because she's a unique little ball of joy and energy that came into the season a little late, and she stepped up when she got the opportunity to finally get some reps. You know, we were really cautious of just putting rookies out there just because we got another body, and this year has been really hard on us with the injuries, as we've said before. But after she got her reps, she stood out and just really proud of what she's done in that little bit of time she's gotten to shine. Bria, are you online with us?
Yes.
Can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, what position you play, what brought you to football, and just in general, how you're feeling now that you're actually the field just running?
Okay. Well, my name is Bria Burr, and a couple of positions that I got a taste of was a little corner, running back, and receiver. Feeling right now is I'm a little excited, ready for the next season to get back out there, actually.
So how do you feel? Like you said multiple positions, and as a rookie, you played multiple of them. The one that you probably had the most action in the game has been probably at wide receiver, I'm guessing. Am I correct at that?
Yeah.
So how do you feel? What's your confidence level? I know I'm not expecting you to say, you know, you're ready to go to a championship right now after what you learned, but what's your confidence level right now?
Confidence level is at a good 8.5.
I was impressed.
Still being a rookie and still learning the route tree, it was a bit of a challenge, but I'm ready for it.
All right, and you had a couple really nice highlights. I remember in the Houston game, you had a big highlight. Do you remember what I'm talking about? You should remember.
Yeah, the recovery.
Right. And it was funny because I wasn't sure that you had it when you were still on the ground. I thought you had the ball. You were still on the ground, and the other team stood up with it. So she just kind of manhandled you a little bit afterwards. And, you know, that's why everybody dives in and we say protect that person that's got the ball, because the refs gave you your props. And that was a big play there. So, like I said, I was impressed on that. What are your feelings on running back? Me, personally, that's a position that I don't feel is ever gonna work for me. It's just not my type of height. But you took that on, you know, full throttle also. How you feel about playing running back?
I kind of like running back. Like, once I get past the initial line, I feel like I'll be great. Because, you know, people got to aim low to get me, kind of small.
Right. I think that actually can be a bit of an advantage for you. kind of ducking under people. And when you have a lot of tall people coming after you, you know, there's disadvantages and advantages to each position. And then the other position you played was cornerback. So how much time?
I want to say I played
how
corner,
you feel about that?
For like, corner for like a game, like one game or a couple of plays in that one game. And it's different, like, because you're also reading the quarterback and also the receiver you're protecting and looking for the ball. So it's a little bit more, you know, football knowledge in that aspect of it.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to a lot going on. But like I said, I think you've done a good job adapting to whatever position you were put into. I think you have a lot of energy and an extremely positive attitude. That's one thing that, I mean, you can't knock. Somebody coming in with a good attitude, willing and able to do whatever they're asked of, and, you know, positivity is, like, a great asset to have. Okay, so let's go on over to our other guest just to bring her on board and have her talk a little bit about herself. We have Ms. Tessa Sharman coming from Canada. I actually want to hear me say that. Hey. You are a veteran, and I remember when you walked into training camp, I was like, hey, I know her face because I recognized you from – I didn't know where from, but you told me, from Women's World Games. So go ahead and tell us what position you play, what brought you to our team, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So that's a lot of questions. You may have to remind me of where I'm at. But I'm Tessa. I'm from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, which is border city to Detroit. I started playing football about 3 seasons ago. This is my 4th season with the Detroit Dark Angels. And I play defensive end. I've played a little bit of tight end. I've played a little bit of wide receiver. I've played a decent amount of free safety. And, you know, you bounce around like everybody. What was your other question?
What brought you to the team? What brought you to Dallas Elite?
Okay. So I moved from my hometown of Windsor and had to leave the Dark Angels for work. I'm an au pair here in Texas. And so when I came to Texas, I initially didn't have time to play football. But this year I made time for it, and I actually tried out for the Impact before I came to the Dallas Elite. And then once I heard that the Dallas Elite were forming a team this year, I decided to come out and check y'all out, and that's eventually where I decided to make home football-wise.
Okay, and you said you played how many years again?
This is my 4th season that I've just finished.
Okay. So you played multiple positions. What position would you say are offense and defensively would be your favorite positions?
I haven't really played a whole lot of offense, so I have to say tight end for offense. And for defense, one of my friends, Callie Bronson from the DC Divas, said it best when I was talking to her, and she described it as my animal is free safety. So that's kind of like my natural ability where I have the most fun and I'm kind of free and I can do it naturally there. So free safety is my animal position. And then my machine would be defensive end. It's my learned position. It's where, you know, I've had to learn the skills. I've had to teach myself to be good in that position. But I love both of the positions.
All right. I was actually kind of looking forward to seeing you play tight end. I thought you were going to get more opportunities at that position this year. So, I don't know, maybe next year, if you're still playing next year, I'm assuming. I don't know. I'm not going to get in that area yet, but assuming that you're still playing.
You're all
I think that would be it's like Lynn is that would be the next guest. I'll bring her in just a second to get coached. But yeah, I just think it's about reps. You have to get the time. You can't be expected to just, you know, make amazing plays when you haven't had opportunity to really play that position. And I know that you can catch the ball, and I know that you're not afraid of contact. So I think, you know, with the right amount of reps in practice and in games, it's not just about practice, because I even had this conversation with some of the Impact players, like, you know, it's hard when you're low in numbers because you don't want to hurt your teammates because it's just a lot of injuries, you can't do a lot of things you want to, so you have to be able to have those contact reps in games, you know, when not necessarily when it's a tight game and you're by one touchdown or 1 point, but you're going to have to get those in. So, again, I look forward to
Definitely.
Seeing you get some opportunities on the offensive side of the ball. That height, you know, you and somebody like a double tight would be amazing with two twin towers like yourself.
Definitely. I agree. So, I agree. Make us a force to be reckoned with and something to respect for sure.
Right. Let me go ahead and introduce our guest host, and she already butted in before I got to introduce her, manhandling us players like that. But everybody knows that, you know, the Elite went through some changes, and Maria Spencer extended an invitation to her previous owners of the team that she played on to come on board and work hand-in-hand with her. And it's been a beautiful friendship, a beautiful business relationship. I can't imagine her having brought on anybody else besides the two individuals that she brought on. From day one, I know I was sleepy, tired, irritable the day they met me, so I probably didn't come off as very friendly. But I just, you know, observe, and you guys have the hardest working family in women's football, I swear. I can't imagine somebody else that has a harder working family because it's y'all, the kids, the in-laws, and, I mean, you guys really take care of us, and, I mean, traveling, it's amazing. But Miss Lynn Liberty Ellington, you got any more names, any more aliases for us? Is that it?
Well, Lynn. I didn't include my middle name, but it's okay. You guys can just call me Lynn.
Okay. It's a lot to remember.
No, it's been a wonderful season, and you guys have all been awesome, and it definitely was a surprise and a struggle, and I have some questions for you guys, too, kind of on that side of things, because it was, I mean, obviously, it got me on the intro music, you know, We Are the Champions by Carrie Underwood, so we're not anymore. I mean, we're finishing up our season, and we're not going to the championship, so I'm a little bummed about that, right? But I'm really curious to hear how you guys feel from Bree and from Tessa and Dez about how you felt the season went. I mean, physically, emotionally. I mean, women's football is crazy. And this season was even more crazy, I guess. A lot of times people come on to women's football and they're really worried about getting playing time. Like, am I going to get to play? Am I going to get off the bench? And this season we were like, oh my gosh, can we get her off?
Can I get off the field? Can I get a break? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I'd be curious to hear, first of all, like, you know, Bree, obviously you came on late in the season, because we were still recruiting up until the very end, and you came on and you were like a bolt of lightning. We were so shocked when you first came to practice. You were really shy, and you're still a little shy.
Mm-hmm.
She's so small. I don't even know if you're 5 foot. Are you a full 5 foot?
I'm 5'3", and I got some inches. Thank you. You know, so I got some inches in the 5 foot area.
But so Tessa is about a foot and a half taller than Bree, just so everybody knows. No, I'm kidding.
I am.
But, so
I'm about 6'1".
It is really
far.
Yeah. So I was really curious as to how people felt about the season, like physically, emotionally, because it was rough. I mean, I know you guys got out there and just kept going and going every game. Who wants to share first?
Tessa.
Tessa. So how do you feel, like, now that the season's over, how are you feeling physically? Or, like, were you worn out the whole time, or how are you feeling?
I feel fine about the season. Like, I feel like I know my body well enough now, like, 4 seasons into it, that I know, like, the phases that I go through from beginning of the season to end of the season. I will say this year was the roughest season on my knees, though, because up until this season, I never came out of a three-point stance, and I also hadn't been on the offensive line as much, which is starting out of a three-point stance. And so I think my knees took a beating this year, more so than they did in past years. But other than that, I just kind of, you know, rode the wavelength where beginning of the season, I'm like, oh, I'm so out of shape. And then, like, by mid-season, I'm like, all right, this is normal. But about mid-season, I was like, all right, this is normal, but my knees really hurt. Other than that, I felt like, you know, physically for myself, the season was good. Now, I've never seen so many broken ankles and torn ACL in my life as of this season.
So many.
I mean,
on any team I've ever been on.
Right. Thoughts and prayers up to everybody who came to us. And
I think we had 12
season
ending injuries.
Right,
yeah.
And that's a lot. I've probably seen that many over the course of the past 3 years, and I've now doubled that number just in 1 year. But
and they weren't all from football contact. Some of them were not hitting anybody. It was a cut wrong,
right?
A non-contact. Nobody touched me. That's what's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's actually a lot of studies that look at that ACL tears in women in conjunction with more turf fields popping up over the past, you know, 5-10 years.
Interesting.
And there's actually been more ACL tears since turf fields have become more popular, just because you get so much traction, you lock into that grid a lot better. So if you make a quick turn, and your knees don't follow where your body wants to go.
And you'll have a lot of people that have been playing flag and then they just get on turf and they don't think there's anything different about it.
Right.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. So, Bree, so when you came to us, I mean, obviously, you know, you hadn't played football before. So how do you feel, like, physically from the first game you started to now? How are you feeling?
I started playing basketball first. So when I sweat, it wouldn't be as much as it is when I play football. So it's kind of I can actually sweat. So that was a bit of a shock for me. That was a big thing for me. I was just a little taken back by that, like, every day. And then
sweating.
But the running and the running on the turf and grass does make a difference. I've been a victim of that in practice a couple of times. It was not fun. But for the most part, it was, like, physically I feel great. Like, I was able to – I'm not football fit, but I'm still fit. I definitely understand that meeting now. Football fit is something totally different. It's a totally different mindset than any, like basketball or other sport. Like, it's a different type of fit. You have to be fit mentally and physically for this game. Otherwise, it's, like, tragic.
Yeah, cool.
But,
and,
yeah,
Dez, how you feeling about the season, Dez?
I'm going to be honest and say, like, as far as for myself, I was disappointed. It definitely did not end. And I'm not even talking about, like, going on to the playoffs per se. It just didn't pan out how I would have expected it. You know, to go from last year I honestly was probably in the best shape I had been in over a decade. Like, I prepared differently. I opted not to coach a second sport at work, specifically so that I could spend the time training in preseason. I was, like, literally, I'd be out at the school running at 10 o'clock at night. When we ran and at the beginning of practice, we would run 2 laps around the field. I was, like, the first one, to the point where people were saying, Dez, slow down. So coach doesn't tell us such and such. Like, I had something to prove, because the 2 seasons before, I barely touched the field, you know. Well, actually, not 2 seasons. The season before, I had barely touched the field. So last year, I literally would play 2 snaps, 4 snaps, you know, kick twice. If I missed it, I got fired and didn't touch the field the rest of the game. And so that was frustrating. So I was like, this year, you know, I had the goal of making sure that the team existed. That was already huge, and that was a stress. And I was coaching a new sport, coaching girls wrestling. Don't have a clue about that. So I didn't get a lot of the preseason I expected to get. Also, you know, with low numbers, we couldn't condition quite like we did before. You know, you don't have anybody else. So I didn't expect to play both sides of the ball. This coming in the season, my goal was I was going to be a receiver. I was going to get that time. So, you know, the first game, I played the entire game except for two downs. One, my calf cramped up, and the other one I wasn't on kickoff return. And we at the time, we weren't getting many kickoff returns. So then it got to the point where, you know, Gore might give me some reps. They might put another DB out there. But it just got to the point that my body was wearing down. Like, when you're running the wide side of the field, and then you're constantly running goes, and then you're not getting the ball, and then when you do get the ball, it's after you're already dead tired, and it's a go. Like, that was very frustrating for me, that I didn't feel like I was set up to contribute at my fullest at the right time. Does that make sense? Like, you know, catch me when I'm fresh. You know, I'm one of the oldest people that's on the field, and I don't make that as an excuse because there's people my age out there doing it, but I know Desiree's body. I know the injuries I have and the quirks. And, geez, by the third game, I had messed up my labrum on one shoulder. The other shoulder was separated 3 seasons ago. You know, my hip's hurting. My groin, my ankle, I'm like, I felt like we duct taped our bodies together to get out there. And like I said, I know my body, it was a huge strain on my body, a huge strain. And then as we got to the end of the season, I have practice with my boys and I'm outside. And then I go to practice outside and it was like, I was drained. I was beat. I'm not gonna lie. I was beat down.
Well, yeah, this season was, out for me, even from a business standpoint, from a ownership standpoint, it was a completely different season for us as a team. So, Bree, are you in love with women's football now, or how you feel?
Yes, I'm definitely in love with women's football right now.
So, what is your plan? Go ahead.
But I guess I was about to lead into your question. Like, what's my plan for, like, next season? Next season, like, starting now, I'm, like, working out, like, conditioning more because, I'm not going to lie, I was tired during some of those reps. And I was like, oh, they're catching me and I'm faster than this. So working on my stamina is what I've been doing lately now.
Well, and that's exactly what I was going to ask next was, what is your you know, are you guys going to take some time off and then get started on off-season practice, or what do you think as far as your timeline for the next coming week? What do you think you're going to do? Tessa, you want to go ahead and?
I tweaked my groin in the pregame of the last game, so my groin is gone right now, so I cannot really work out much until that heals.
So that's what, about 6 or 7 weeks probably for that to heal?
No, that's like a week or two. That's like a week or two. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's gone as far as like this week. Like, I can't do anything. Did I tear it or anything like that? No. But I'm saying, if you know anything about a groin injury, you can't just work out on it. You have to leave it alone for a week or so.
Yeah.
Ice and ibuprofen.
Okay. So Jez is not going to do anything for about a week and a half, and then she's going to be back at it.
I'm a condition with my boy.
For me, which some people may shake their head, but I don't care. This is what I do. I usually take up until like the end of August off. And then starting in about September, I'll get my ladder out and start doing my injury prevention routine, which I slacked on a lot this year, and I really felt it, like I was saying, in my knees. So if I plan to play next year, I definitely need to start my injury prevention routine early. So September, I definitely get that going and then keep it steady all the way through to the preseason.
Gotcha. Well, cool. So Des, do you have any more questions real quick? I was going to get on to the end of season party and then maybe ask some more questions. Do you have anything else?
No, I mean, we could mention the All-Americans. I don't know if you were going to say that. We did. That is a positive that, you know, whether you make it or not into the playoffs or the championship, it does allow some of those individuals that shine to still continue playing ball up until that point and playing an all-star game. So we did have several on the first and second team for the All-American list. And if I can recall it off the top of my head, for first team, we had Jamie for a linebacker. Well, I can't remember if it was Strickland or if it was
I'm trying to pull it up right here. Oh, can you hear me?
Because it was between both of the corners. I mean, two linebackers made it. Strickland made it, and then at corner,
yeah.
King made it. And one might have been second team. Goldie was second team.
Anthony.
Gore was first team for quarterback. Amanda was first team at O-line. Light was first team O-line.
That's pretty good.
And Ebony.
Ebony was second team.
Linebacker.
Amanda Morgan.
Linebacker? Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't
Yeah, well, Amanda, yeah, Amanda Morgan was O-line, first
O-line.
Team. And let's see, I'm just trying to make sure. Yeah, Ebony Jones got it for outside linebacker.
Right. Like, our defense kind of picked up most of that, and, you know, our offensive game wasn't as strong as we would have liked it to be. Our defense game was actually pretty decent. I think if we just didn't have to play both sides of the ball, it would have been better. I know for
right.
me,
right.
I can't speak for these folks that are 10 and 12 and 15 years younger than me. They did a better job than I did. It is what it is.
Well, yeah, and you're right.
It does
make a difference on the numbers. You know, there's several things that go into being All-American. I'm not sure if everybody knows that, but it has to do with the coaches and then other teams vote and your stats.
Right, I did know that.
Yeah, and then I don't know how they calculate it and spit it back out, but it does help when you're able to focus on just one position because you're able to get your numbers up in that position. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And some of those people did play two sides, but I'm proud. Like, King, for the most part, played just defense. She played a little bit of offense in, like, one or two games, like a few snaps, but she focused defense. Her biggest thing to me was she had three, not only picks, she ran them in for touchdowns. As a rookie,
right.
And then Strickland, you know, Strickland was out there even when she was injured. I'm so pumped. I keep playing, and well, I'm not, you know, I can't give up. And she was out there hammering him with her club arm after she hurt her wrist, and still kept going. And you know, those are two amazing young rookies that are going to be forces to reckon with. And they were fearless from game one. I pointed that out, that those two and Jackie were out there in game one and tackled like they've been tackling. So they deserve it. They deserve it hands down. And I'm very proud that they got those honors.
It's going to be a crazy rest of the season. I'm trying to pull up the upcoming games, the playoff games, and I'm just not pulling up the right section.
So for our division, it'll be on the 30th that the Impact is, but they're going to Kansas City.
Correct.
And then
right.
Who cares about the rest? No, I'm kidding. I just don't remember.
That's funny. Hold on just a second. I'm trying to pull it up because I had the championship page up because I was getting ready to talk about that, but I wanted to pull up I guess they have the backseat forecast over here. It talks about current standings, but I had just seen where it had they don't have it up the way I want it. Who is going to play who? Obviously, we know about. Okay, here I got it. Let's go. I'm going to start with Division III. I don't know if you guys watch the other games. We try to watch as many games as we can on live streaming or whatever. But Division III here coming in 3 days. Acadiana Zydeco is playing the Arkansas Wildcats. They were the Division III champions last year. So I think they have a pretty good chance. We got the Houston Power is playing the Austin Outlaws. And I don't know if you guys recall what they did throughout the season. I know didn't the Power beat Austin?
I thought they beat them already. Yeah, I was going to say they already beat them. So and it was a pretty big deficit, like 40-something to zero, I thought. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, but the cool thing about that is it's a really light travel for their first playoff game. So and then the La Muerta Las Cruces, New Mexico, plays the Colorado Freeze. The Utah Blitz plays the Rocky Mountain Thundercats. That's so there's a lot of games still going on this weekend. We got the Cincinnati Sizzle and the Toledo Rain. That's not a very long travel. And then Columbus Vanguard versus Richmond Black Widows, Music City Misfits.
Do you know how I have so much going on in my head and in my schedule that I can't keep up with a lot of stuff that you guys are keeping up with. But did you see how Atlanta did for a season? Because, like, I was glad we finally had the opportunity to play a different team. You know, we've been playing Kansas City every year except for last year. But do you know how Atlanta did for their season? Because our game was so close. It was, you know, one touchdown and extra points.
I'd have to click. Let me see. It won't let me click into. I could probably click into just this team.
I mean, no stress over it. I was just curious.
Yeah. Well, I know that they have a bye this week, and Atlanta plays the DC Divas in the second round of the playoffs. That's
okay.
Gonna be
so
a
they're.
They're still in the playoffs. But let me see real quick if I'm able to go into that team and look at all of their stuff. Let's see. Hold on just a second.
So it's interesting, like, how some of these teams, you know, kind of like a little bit of a roller coaster. Everybody has their ups and downs because D.C. had a rough year last year, and it was, you know, just a regathering. They had some people retire. And had, you know, new quarterback, different people step up. But still got some people, you know, some vets that have been there. Callie is the only person that I know really by name because I interacted with her at Women's World Games a lot. But they have, like, a nation. I'm like, they had, like, 80, 90 people on roster, and then at the game it was, like, 70. I'm like, geez.
Wow.
Can you borrow a couple of them?
Yeah. Well, and just,
play,
just
though,
because
but,
you asked,
numbers.
Yeah. Just because you asked, I was able to get over there. So Atlanta finished out 6-1. They beat the Tampa Bay. They lost to Alabama. Then they beat us.
What was the score? Did it show the score for the Alabama game?
Yeah, it was 6-0.
See?
That was that big rainstorm game, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then they beat Alabama the next time 14-6, and then
so
they
still
beat
still
Miami.
A
yeah,
competition.
Yeah, they beat
What's
Miami.
What's the type
Fury
of game that you want to see though? Like you,
right.
I mean, you can make it exciting even if it's a big point differentiation. Because like when we played Houston, yeah, we beat them by a lot, but they didn't lay down, so it was an entertaining game. But you know, to have more games where it's that close and it's not because both teams are horrible, it's because both teams are giving each other the business. Like, the defenses are locking people down. You know, it's not necessarily that you don't have a good offense, it's that defense is doing their job. They say offense wins games, defense wins championships. So
it's true.
Right, right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that's a lot of what I talk about on the women's football success part of it. So there's a couple things that we need to change in women's football. One is the blowouts, and everybody talks about it. But really, the only thing that can fix blowouts is better football preparation.
Yes.
it's not your team's fault that the other team didn't practice, or it's not, you know,
or didn't recruit, or people didn't want to stay.
Right. You can only hold the person, the team accountable that got the zero, but everybody whines and gets upset about the fact that, you know, it was a blowout. Now, obviously, from a business standpoint, blowouts are horrible, especially at the beginning of the season. You know, you have a blowout, 65-0, the first game, nobody wants to come anymore. It's not fun. It's not entertaining. And, you know, you guys listen and read the articles and stuff, if you do, about women's football. And that's one of the issues, is these blowouts, that it needs to be more entertaining. But the only way that's going to happen is if all of the teams get out and practice and are ready to go on game day.
Well, I mean,
and
it's deeper than that. Like, not just the practicing, because, one, you got to recruit and get the numbers up. You got to have good PR. And I don't think a lot of teams have PR. You'll look at some teams' websites and pages, and you're like, does this team still exist? Because nobody keeps up with it. Like, we had a lot on our plate, but we were like, we got to get something out on Instagram more often. We got to post something here more often. Like, you got to get people to do that, whether it's that cousin that is good with IT or with social media, because you don't have somebody on the team. Like, you get out to find ways to do it. But as soon as your off-season starts is when you start planning those things at the latest. You really want to be doing it kind of a little bit at a time during the season, but you hit it full throttle when your season ends.
Right, and I agree with you there. And that was the second thing that I was going to bring up, as far as the second thing. There's about five things that we need to work on in women's football, but the second thing is the numbers. And I've talked to several players, and I put this out there. My goal is to help, rather than start up new leagues and start up new tournaments and all this stuff, why don't we embrace the teams that we have and teach them and give them the skills to go out and recruit 40 players. So that's my goal for this year, and I'm putting that out to these other teams. I've been doing it the last couple weeks, and I'm going to do it for the next few weeks. But, you know, some of these teams shouldn't be here. We know that, right? Some of the teams just will fall out on their own. But there's some teams that are really putting the effort in, just don't know how to do it. So If they have 18 players, I'd like to give them the tools to say, hey, let's go get 40 players. Because, like I said, this year we came in really late. I think we had like 8 or 9, to be honest. You know, once we really looked at the numbers on February 6th, when we signed the papers to come on as co-owners and kind of the dust settled, I think we were at like 7 or 9 official players. So we just started doing tryouts, and I've already got the schedule set for tryouts for this coming season. We'll be putting that out here in the next couple of days to get some players on, because we will be at 60 next year, and there's no excuses. And, you know, for me personally, and I don't mean to preach to people, but, you know, we're in a market that has like 10 million people, I guess. Is that right? Dallas, like 7 million, 10 million people. I will be able to get 60 women that want to play full contact tackle football. But with that being said, a lot of people whine about, oh, well, I'm only in a market that has 200,000, or I only have 100,000. If you have 100,000 people, you can get 60 players on your roster, but it's going to take effort. It's going to take time. You're not going to be able to just do 2 tryouts. So you're exactly right, Des. That's another one of the issues that we need to fix in women's football. And we're going to fix it this season. I don't know.
You got to get on the community. You got to let people know who you are. What did you just say? I must have missed it. The last thing you said.
Well, I said we're going to fix it, and Des is probably thinking,
I was like, we? You talking about Tessa?
Yeah.
Tessa, she asked me something. No, I'm kidding.
But, so that's my goal as far as this year in women's football coming back. This is a full season. Last year we didn't have time to do this. We were just kind of picking up the pieces and collecting things and getting through the season. This next season is going to be crazy. But and we're you know, going to head back to the championship this year. I have no doubt about it. But in the meantime, they're, you're right. The teams need to get out there and do some networking and social media and stuff. And, you know, Tessa said if she comes, I heard her say that, if she comes back, she's going to get her ladder out. I heard that.
Yes, ma'am.
So, so real quick, I just want to talk about division. I'll do Division Two, just so you guys kind of get an idea. So Wisconsin. So first, there's actually a couple teams Division Two that are going to be playing this weekend: Everett Rain and the San Diego Rebellion, Columbus Comets and the Philadelphia Phantoms, and Miami Fury versus the Jacksonville Dixie Blues. And I just mentioned these because I know you guys have friends that are also in women's football. So Division One, because there's such a low number of teams in Division One, they won't, none of the Division One teams will be playing this first playoff week. So they all have a bye, which is kind of nice. They get 2 weeks to get ready. But Arlington's going to Kansas City. Portland Shockwave is going to are they going to L.A.? Or I think they're going to L.A. And then Atlanta Phoenix is going to D.C. Divas. That's going to be a rough one. Hands up to Atlanta. And then, of course, Boston Renegade looks like going to Pittsburgh Passion. Pittsburgh's been in the playoffs several years in a row. Is that correct? I mean, they're always up there. So I'm excited about this next week of games. We continue to watch games even after the season ends. And you guys are the first to find this out, but we are having our end of season game or our end of season party for the Dallas Elite. That's going to be on Friday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. So you guys can write that down right now. I'm not going to tell you the location yet. We're going to go. It's going to be family friendly from 7 to 10. And then we'll have also an after.
I'm kidding.
And then we'll have an after party place as well, so the kids can participate in the first part, and if people want to go home or whatever, we have some awards to give out, some things that we're going to share. We have a couple of players that, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the season, how we kind of do things, but we have two players that are becoming paid players, and so that entails a couple different things. So we'll announce that at the party. So we're really excited about that. I mean, women's football, we need to get to a point where these women are getting paid to play, and hopefully this transition will help, you know, show people that it's possible that people can get paid to play women's football. So I'm excited about that.
Cool.
I don't want to share too much because it's surprises for you guys. So, I don't want to tell you, like, everything that's happening.
I don't like surprises.
But you don't like surprises?
What? No. I need to know.
Well, just come to the party. and you know, it's, the first part is a lot of talking and a lot of chatting and stuff. And then but, yeah, it'll be fun. But, yeah, so just mark your calendars for June 22nd, 7 p.m. till 2 a.m., and we're good.
Yeah, this is the club.
Right.
Well, that's I want to make sure you mark
bring your ones. Bring your ones, Tessa.
Yep. Yeah, bring some slippers for the later in the evening. That's funny. Real quick, and so let's talk about, I don't know if you guys have even thought about this, but, I mean, I know our season is over. I'm pretty bummed about that. We had said that we were going to take a week off and then get started, and it took about 7 hours until Coach Mike and Coach Lacey were on the phone again. It's been crazy. So they have been just nonstop since then. So it's, I mean, they're already working on next year and connecting on that. So it's really going to be a good year.
Did you really expect any less from the two of them, though?
Right.
Well, I expect they had said that they were going to take – first they said they were going to take the rest of June off, and they were going to start again in July. And I'll tell you, in years past, when we had the Lone Star Mustangs, they did that. They really, really did that. So I was expecting for them to at least take a week or two off. But it's crazy. They've been just talking about – I mean, they've been planning, let's say that. They're getting some off-season workouts together to send to you guys. Like I said, we have already started setting up our tryouts. So we want the players that are coming back to come to the tryouts and do a full workout. And we're going to be doing tryouts about every 2 to 3 weeks, starting in, I think, September, maybe August. I think it's August. So because we want to keep the team going, we want to keep the team connecting with each other and staying in shape. And I know a lot of the girls are going to kind of work out together, but they're putting together some off-season workout programs, and I'm really excited about it. They're really crazy people. But with that being said, they do it. They love doing it. And, you know, the other coaches will be involved as well. But like I said, it was about 7 or 8 hours, and they're already chit-chatting. And Lacey lit up my phone today, and we got some off-season marketing and stuff that we're doing. So it's going to be really great season next year. So I hope everybody returns. And I'm curious to see what happens with everything else, but we are going to have 60 players. We want to be able to give people time to focus on one or two positions, and we want to give some people some stability and knowing, you know, a calendar, a schedule of things that's going to happen. So we're excited. Hopefully we're going to do it in a way that we don't have to travel to Dallas 3 days a week, but we'll figure that out when it comes. So I'm really excited about the upcoming weeks and months. Now, championship. Now, obviously, we're not going to the championship but as a team, but I wanted to put this out there to you guys. A lot of you guys know other girls on other teams. Some of our girls are going to be playing in the All-American game. The championship is 43 days and 11 hours away. So I also want to put this out for other, especially like the newbies on our team and the newbies on other teams. Like a lot of times you're just like, this is your first experience in women's football. So championship weekend is really a time for you to see that there's like thousands of women playing football, and you go to this championship weekend and you see all these other women that are in different stages of their women's football careers. But it's crazy to see all these women that do the same things that you guys do. So it's pretty cool. Coach Mike and I are going, and I guess I shouldn't speak for the other people that have said they're going. But we have talked to the lady that's in charge. I don't know if you guys have even looked at the championship website or anything. Has anybody?
I have.
Of course I have. Are any of you guys planning on going or thinking about it? Or
I was thinking about it.
I'm on the fence about it. What'd you say, Tessa?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Okay. I said I'm on the fence about it. I spoke with April yesterday, and we'll see. I might go. I may not.
Okay. And what did you say, Des? What's your plan?
I don't know, because, like, that that same week is the Texas High School Coaches Association school. That's the beginning of the week. Championship was the end of the week. Now, I did buy a ticket a long time ago just in case. But it's just really – and I do that every – I'm going to be honest with you. Since my rookie year, I would always buy a ticket, like, in February. And I'd use my, matter of fact, that's when I actually bought my, got my Southwest Airlines credit card, because I didn't have to worry about a voucher. If I canceled it, it just went back on the card, or I used points. So recommendation to anybody else, if you don't have a Southwest Airlines card and you would like one, it's very beneficial. I've used it for every time I've flown with them.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah, that's a really good tip. The so let's real quick. So I want to tell you kind of about the championship weekend and what I've heard and what I've talked to with April. We have about 10 minutes left on the show, so I want to make sure we're not going to exceed that hour. We'll finish up before then. But so real quick. So if you go to the website, it was kind of confusing at the very beginning, and it asks you to register, but it doesn't tell you how much it is or anything like that. So I found out from April, so what they're doing is you register, and that tells them how many people are interested. So, for example, like the hotel, people that said that they were going to go for Friday night or Saturday night, they registered, put their names and phone numbers in there, and then the hotel called them back and booked them into a room. I was a little confused at the very beginning, and I'm guessing that I'm not the only one that was confused, because, like, for example, I checked with her several times, how much is a suite? And nobody, they just said, go look at the website. And I looked at the website, and it didn't have an amount or a number or anything. So so real quick, I kind of to run down the championship weekend. So on Friday, from what I talked to her about and what it still says on the website, Friday at 3 p.m. is the Division III championship, and 7 p.m. is the Division II championship. So those are all on Friday. So day two, Saturday, she told me this is going to change, and I hope I'm not giving out the wrong information, but at noon there was supposed to be an international game with, I guess, a team or a league from Mexico, and she said that's not going to happen, that is probably when that best of best challenge is going to happen at noon on Saturday. And then say it again.
The best challenge.
So the best of best challenge is going to be like a combine type style.
Okay.
And it's going to be, let me see if I can go here. She had it listed out. Yeah. Okay, so they're going to do WFA best quarterback, best kicker, best receiver, fastest player, strongest player, and best all-around athlete.
That would be entertaining.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a combine or a draft-type situation where it doesn't matter what team you're on, or your team might not have made it to the playoffs, you may be awesome, right? So you get to go and compete for the fastest or the strongest or whatever. You go.
They don't have
a
slowest one.
Yeah, right. Do you have
I got you.
Yeah. The least amount of sit-ups. No.
No.
But yeah.
You're a jerk.
They're going to have. So they're going to have this combine type style thing for players that, you know, maybe your team didn't get into the playoffs, but you may be a really badass kicker or receiver, so you're able to participate in that. So that's going to actually, she told me, and I don't know if she's going to update this or if it's right, but she had said that was going to move to day two, Saturday, 12 noon on the field.
In place of that other game.
In place of that international game. And then 3 p.m. is the All-American game. And then 7 p.m. is the Division I championship game. With that being said, you can register. If you look at all these, you can register just to be a participant of the best of the best. You can register to be a spectator for just the best of the best. You can do a one-day pass for Friday or a one-day pass for Saturday. There's several different combinations. My question was, and what I'm going to try to do. So on Saturday, they have these VIP private suites. And when we went there on our game, she gave me a tour of the stadium. So I just kind of want to – I'm not advertising for her, but they're pretty awesome. So it's an indoor VIP suite.
It's going to be at the stadium that we played at?
Yes, yes.
That was a pretty nice stadium. Like, I liked it.
It was a really nice stadium. Yeah, she took me on a tour of the other because we were on the visitor side, so our side was nice, mm-hmm. but their side was really nice. So there's like 14 or 16 VIP suites. It seats, she said 16, but she'll give the people 20 tickets to get in. So a couple of people will be standing up. It comes with like a concierge, a jumbotron, a wait staff. Some flat screen televisions for other stuff, and then outdoor seating as well, refrigerated. But they're going to have like a catered food menu. So it's a pricey thing, right? It's pretty pricey, but if you were to divide that up, if you were able to get 20 people to go and you divided the price up, it's really not that bad. So I want to put that out there to people, not only on our team, but also on other teams, that, hey, if you're thinking about going and there's six or eight of you going, you might want to try to get with another six or eight group and get a whole seat. Because it could be pretty decent. I mean, once you get the they haven't shown here yet how much the tickets are just to get in. So I'm curious how much it is just for an individual ticket, like for day one on Friday. Is it $20? Is it $30? Is it $40? And then, of course, for day two, just for the championship.
I have never heard it being that much, but you never know. I mean, Atlanta, I knew they were going to step it up. And first of all, Atlanta, you already know it's a place that you got places you can go. I've been to Atlanta only once, and, I mean, I didn't go many places. Oh, ironically, I did go to the bar that guy Peter owned on Real Housewives of Atlanta. I went there, didn't know it because I hadn't watched the show at the time. So he was buying his drinks. It was cool. I was like, I like this town. maybe we can all get on Real Housewives. Well, first of all, hey, wait a minute. They do have some women's football on, what is it, the Basketball Wives. So Real Housewives of Atlanta, maybe they can get some real tackle, full contact football on there. We need to find out where to, like, you know, slide into some filming.
There's actually a really episode. There's a really old episode of the Real Housewives of Atlanta that actually they go to an Atlanta explosion practice, which is the explosion came just before the Phoenix. So once the explosion kind of disbanded in the IWFL, they moved over to the WFA and became the Phoenix.
That's cool.
But they're on the Real Housewives. They're featured on the Real Housewives like a while back.
So funny. Everybody just kind of experienced how Des thinks. That was so cute.
I'm sorry. It's random. Very sporadic. It's very sporadic. I've had a little bit of Juice Plus, and I'm walking a dog.
That was so funny. Well, yeah, no, maybe. So, yeah, if you want to reach out to the Housewives of Atlanta, you know, we could invite them to come to the game, and they could
It doesn't hurt to reach out to any and everybody. The worst they can say is no. So if everybody blows it up on social media, reaches out to any and everybody they know, you never know what could happen. A lot of famous people live in Atlanta.
That's right. You never know. Well, and real quick, we're getting ready to be done. We have like a minute left, but they also have on here like night entertainment passes, some kind of a bus that's going to go around and have music on it, which sounds pretty cool. And then they're going to also have like a party in a pool on the top of the hotel. So I mean, they're really stepping it up. It's gonna be crazy. So if you guys get a chance, I'm gonna put some stuff out there on the Dallas Elite page and on our Dallas Elite staff page and see who's really interested in coming to it and see if maybe we want to get a suite and have some fun in Atlanta. So I know we only have like a few seconds left. I really appreciate you guys coming on, and I appreciate you having me on. You guys are all great girls, and I can't wait to see you at our end of season party.
Yes. We're going to try and get that the secret, let that secret out the bag.
Right.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, coming on board, allowing us to even have this opportunity. I appreciate BJ giving us this opportunity to have the show at all, to even, you know, let people learn a little bit about our players. So, you know, we're just going to keep rolling with it, and it'll get bigger and better, just like we want women's football to do, get bigger and better.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you, BJ. You guys have a good night.
You
all right.
Thank you.
Good night.